Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, today is Wednesday, the 30th of October, our UK budget day, which has been discussed all month. So an important day for the UK. So let's we'll be looking at that in quite some detail this morning in the build up to that. Looking for, you know, is there an opportunity depending on how the market perceives that particular budget? There is some US data as well. We've got some another round of job numbers, US job numbers coming through. We'll discuss yesterday's news event, which was something for everyone. We'll show you in detail. And we weren't able to pull the trigger on a trade yesterday because we were anticipating, I suppose, quite a choppy market dynamic, and that's pretty much what we've seen. So let's try and get to grips with these markets, which is quite challenging at the moment, because not only have we had very little sort of proper price action in the build-up to this week's news and the election and the FOMC next week as well. Markets are a little bit careful to be reacting in any sort of with significant volume. There seems to be that lack of kind of confidence so far in the early part of this news run that we're currently in. All right, let's show you the news. We'll go through the data. We'll show you what's happened to the actual markets themselves, and we'll arrive at some decisions, hopefully. So just as a quick introduction, all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. So we're going to have a strong focus on not just the US markets, but also the UK markets. Where do we then want to enter and exit those trades? How do we manage risk? How do we manage each trade? We're still in a dollar Swiss trade, believe it or not. We got quite close to our take profit again yesterday, and then went through this strange market routine with the dollar at the minute, with really some positive and some negative news hitting the airwaves at the same time, along with trade psychology. So and just to let you know, we do address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we are strong advocates of trying to be as consistent as we can. We're looking for certain opportunities to open up. We don't generally trade every type of opportunity in every market. We're a little bit more focused on the type of trade we're looking to try and get into. Over the last few days, we've had a little bit of up and down. So when you have the up and down, or let's say you have the up phase of that trade, you want to see continuation, and then it reverses, so you don't get that continuation trade. And then when it reverses, you want to see some continuation to the downside. And as we've seen, it reverses off the lows. So you're having this up and down sort of dynamic playing out in front of us, which makes it a bit of a challenging dynamic. Okay, on that note, let's get straight into it then. We'll have a look at this news. So I want to start with yesterday's news event, if we can. And I suppose we had a bit of a neutral response going into this event, in terms of we're probably likely to get pretty close to forecast, and with lots of major news coming down the tracks, how important will this be? We probably weren't too concerned about it. What we actually saw in the end is consumer confidence numbers coming in. It was the highest all year, pretty much. So out of the last, what month are we in? 9 months. You have to go back to January of this year, where we saw 114 for the month of December. So actually, this is the most confidence consumers have had in the last nine, 10 months, and it's a bit of out of the blue. You wouldn't have probably expected that consumers would be so confident with their current backdrop, but yet that's what the numbers are saying. And then on the job openings, how many jobs are available in the US? Well, we were sitting around that 8 million number for quite some time, and that's been, I see we've actually been revised down as well. And the number, the actual print, was way below expectations, 500,000 jobs lower than what was expected, which is quite significant. So we had this strange dynamic where a really positive consumer, but actually the number of jobs that are available are decreasing. Now, we kept saying that this JOLT job opening number is likely to feed into today's ADP, tomorrow's unemployment numbers, and the big one on Friday, which is non-farm payroll. So it's probably about how the overall jobs market is looking. We had the Beige Book last week, and what it suggested was, in a broad summary sense, was that employers are holding on to their staff. They're not actively letting them go. Now, with that in mind, it'll be interesting to see how many what the employment change numbers are and how positive they are likely to be. But in terms of how many jobs are available, those are reducing at a fairly significant rate. If we look at the, you know, we're on a downward trajectory, aren't we? We're still at the levels which were at the peak, which were at all-time highs, you know, prior to COVID. So we're coming back to some form of normality, perhaps. Still a lot of jobs available, but it really depends on how many jobs are added and how the market responds to that. So a little bit of a mixed bag yesterday. So today, overnight, we've had Australian inflation numbers coming in. You'd have to say, if you look at the headline year on year, it's considerably lower than previously, 2.7. Now we're down, back down to 2.1. So so the Australian economy is getting that inflation back to 2%. We're virtually there now. So it just allows the RBA to start cutting rates as well, which we have this week, don't we? Do we have a rate cut from the... So inflation... we had a rate cut last week, didn't we? So let me just have a quick look at that before we have a look at the UK stuff. The ECB. We had the Bank of Canada cut 50 basis points. Maybe the RBA is yet to come. It's hard to keep track of all these central banks. Okay, so for the RBA, they've got a really sort of lower inflationary dynamic in which they can reduce rates, and they can do so. With significantly lower CPI headline numbers. So today we're going to be keeping an eye out on German prelim CPI numbers. These are month on month, and we have been pretty flat. Are we expecting a little bit of a slight uptick in German inflation? We shall see. We've got Spanish inflation as well. You can see the year-on-year number is a little bit healthier than the German month-on-month. That's why 0.2 is still sort of around that 2% mark. Okay, so so all eyes will then shift to US job numbers, ADP, private sector job numbers, and 110 is quite a relatively healthy number. We've also got growth advanced GDP numbers sticking around 3%. So these are quarter on quarter figures, and 3% represents fairly decent growth for the US economy, outstripping, you know, most other jurisdictions. So we're kind of averaging around 3%. you would assume across the board. So that's a healthy growth dynamic. So the other bit, very important news in here is for the UK. So what I'm going to do is so we'll have a look at the 2-year gilt yield. So this is the British 2-year gilt. I just want to just share with you how these bond markets are viewing this particular news event, because we'll be looking to see how that shifts as the news event continues. So again, very similar to the US, we've got sort of August lows, and we've just been on this little strong rally, and we're up at these recent highs. So I suppose we're going to get another market response from bond traders once this budget drops, and we'll see exactly. I suppose the UK government are trying to play a tough game in terms of saying, look, we need to be fiscally responsible. So we need to, you know, we've got that 20 billion deficit, which apparently they didn't know much about, which they need to do something on the fiscal side without austerity, but still we're really focused on growth. So how do you get that balance right between growth and fiscal responsibility? Where are the cuts going to come from? And then how do they oversee growth? It's a careful balancing act. And I think the 2-year gilt is actually suggesting that actually the risks are increasing. The Labour government could end up getting this wrong. And we're way off the lows, which were down at 3.6. Very similar dynamic to the US. Downward trajectory, if we zoom out, the highs of 2023 were up at 5.4. And now we seem to be making these new highs at these lower prices. So risks are increasing, not just for the UK government, but also for the US government as well. And they have a big impact on central bank policy as well, these 2-year treasury notes and gilt yields. So what does that mean going into ADP, advanced GDP, and also this autumn forecast statement for the UK? It's really going to be important to kind of monitor these news events and ultimately see how the market reacts. So for the US, if this is a bad number, then you're looking to consider, with the amount of jobs that are available, that there's a bit of weakness coming down the tracks for the Fed. And it's the Fed's number one priority to focus on jobs and actually determine whether they are weakening, if the jobs market in the US is actually weakening, because that's one of the reasons why the Fed lowered rates 50 basis points, is to prevent that weakness. They don't want the wheels coming off these job markets. Now, the other important aspect with the job numbers from the UK is obviously building in an understanding around the hurricanes that we've had and the impact that that's likely to have on job numbers. So we've had a range. This ADP number could be as low as negative 10,000 jobs added, anywhere up to 164, I think, was the number that they were discussing yesterday. So there's quite a range for this number, really wide range. And then we've got the GDP number. So will that come in line with expectations? Will it come in above or below? And with such a very, very important news event, we kind of want to have the stars align a little bit. We will kind of want to have that high degree of confidence in the decision making. And a lot of these markets, if you know, apart from gold, which is just on this pretty incredible rally, not really pulling back for us to get into it, which is a bit frustrating, but elsewhere, if you just look at just the price action over the last 5 days, it's not the most compelling markets you could imagine. These are still up there from yesterday. You can see the nature of the sideways move across the US indices. The Dow Jones is in 2, 4, 5, although we're actually seeing a rally in the we had corporate earnings, so we're seeing a bit of a rally in the NASDAQ, which we're not seeing in the S&P 500, and the Dow Jones is looking actually a little bit weaker. We've been moving sideways since that gap to the downside, pretty much. And so now this is 3 days of kind of sideways moving pattern. Our bias is still very much to the downside. We were looking to see if we'd get a bit of a coherent pullback to start selling at higher prices, and we haven't had that opportunity just yet. So we would still expect further upside for gold. Not too sure what the catalyst would be for a proper pullback in gold. It does signify that risks are building at an uncomfortable level. We're in this kind of long-term sideways pattern for crude oil. So we've got markets that are close to breaking out either to the upside or to the downside, but nothing is doing so just yet. There's a bit of hesitation across the bond yields. We're pulling back off the highs just ever so slightly. So it's a bit of a bland market dynamic. So with that in mind, let's edit our trade plan. The narratives are a little bit difficult to pinpoint right now in terms of why are we trading the markets that we're trading. If you're buying gold, you're just doing so at all-time highs, expecting further highs. We prefer some sort of technical pullback where we could look to perhaps add gold, but it just keeps making daily highs really at this point. So mixed market conditions due to a number of major market news events due out over the next 8 days. Now we're looking at a 7 day. So it's a really important week ahead for financial markets. The next 7 days. So yeah, the Nikkei's continued to rally. We didn't really get that pullback yesterday for the 38.721 level. Yen weakness looks like it's still intact. So let's have a look at the Nikkei. So yeah, we were wanting this market to just pull back into these lower levels, and we were going to look to see if we can get a buy trade off. So that's rallying quite frustratingly, because we're really needing to cherry pick certain opportunities here. So the yen is weak against the dollar, against the euro. We might be breaking higher there as well. And similar dynamic for the pound. Probably stay away from the pound today. If you're going to look at the yen, probably the dollar or the euro yen would take priority. Right, we don't really have that buy trade at that 38,700. So Nikkei strength. All right, it's not a great trade plan today, like it wasn't really yesterday. Keeping all options open will prove useful in these current market conditions. So that's our kind of view. Got the yen pairs at recent highs, so we need to look carefully at those. Crude oil has been in a sideways moving pattern, and gold has just been making higher highs continually. So not great opportunity to try and take advantage of yesterday and so far today. Maybe that will change as these news events start to unfold, and maybe the dollar and the indices will come back to the fore, and we'll see if we can get some trades off. But keeping all options open really at this phase in this market cycle, with so much news coming out over the course of this week and next week. Okay, so two major market narratives then. You could point to this AI rally. We'll have a look at some of the corporate earnings. That we had Google yesterday. We've got Amazon and Apple, Microsoft, and so we've got five of the big seven this week, and we had Google yesterday, so we've got two tonight, two tomorrow, so we'll have a look at those in just a second. But a really close look at the UK and the pound and the FTSE. We'll be seeing if there'll be an opportunity there. There very well may be. Apart from that, the narratives aren't particularly that clear, unfortunately. So on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go. The trade plan is posted into the chat box. Yeah, and we look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade, I mean, this week is going to be a really challenging one, but I'm sure there's going to be some fantastic opportunities that will come off the back of that. So for more information, just go to livetradingroom.com and feel free to connect with us there. So from everyone here, take care of yourselves, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now. My pleasure, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.